This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tass here, and I'm very pleased to welcome back into the studio Michael Veitch. And you're a writer, Michael, amongst other things. Amongst other things.
And I am a man of many bills.
You are. And
that I have to pay.
The book that I... The last book of yours that I read was Turning Point, which was the story of Milne Bay.
Indeed.
The first land battle won against the Japanese in World War II.
That's correct.
By Australians.
By Australians.
And Tass doesn't know much about the Pacific War.
No, I don't, actually.
Australia's role, and he probably doesn't even know Greece was invaded in the Second World War.
By the Hello.
Nazis, by the Nazis. Did you know that?
I lost family, Dahl.
Oh, there you go. He does.
Wow. And yeah. Australians had an enormous part of that story too. And I think that is one of the great initial cementing factors between Australia and Greece that happened in 1941. And it was a tragedy, but and it was a tragedy for the Australians, but my God, it was a tragedy for Greece. Wow. Well, I reckon your parents would have had amazing stories, Tess.
Yeah.
Of that time and grandparents. Yeah.
So Milne Bay was one of those stories, but being a writer, and this is...
And I'm working on the next one.
Yes, too. I know. And give us a clue. Can you give us a clue?
Well, another... See, Turning Point was basically the continuation of an earlier book called 44 Days. I'm obsessed with these untold stories.
Yes.
And it's... I always say that if we were Americans, and open bracket, thank God we're not, close bracket, we would nonetheless know these... stories of what our forebears did in the terrible conflicts of, well, particularly that of the Second World War. And a lot of these wars have been done to death, so to speak, but so much we don't know about as a country.
If you look, Michael, if you look at the amount of material that's been written about the Second World War in Europe versus what has been written about the Pacific War...
It's about 10%. Yeah. And there is, this is why I like writing this, because there's so much, it's really quite moving discovering and putting out stories that just haven't really been told before and that are incredibly exciting.
Give us a snapshot, Michael. Give us a snapshot or two.
Well, the first of the books I did called 44 Days was about... As we know, Japan erupted into the Southwest Pacific after Pearl Harbor, and it wasn't just the Pearl Harbor, it was they launched this multi-pronged sort of octopus invasion of the whole the whole kind of Southwest Pacific basin, fulfilling an ambition that they had been planning for decades. Malaya went, Singapore went, and then of course the backstop of their what they wanted to be as their South Pacific Empire was New Guinea. And they didn't want to invade Australia. They just wanted to get us out of the way. And the only way to do that was to cut off the sea lanes to our north and checkmate us out of the game.
But that's not an untold story.
That's not an untold story about how they were defeated. The first book I did was the terrible... the state with which Australia's defence, particularly Air Force, was in at the beginning of World War II was so abysmal, so abominable. We sort of, when push came to shove, we opened the cupboard and found nothing but a half packet of chewing gum and two dead flies. There was nothing to put up against the Japanese. By luck, we had a contingent of brand new American fighter planes that were destined for Borneo, and Borneo was overrun in about 3.5 minutes, so the boat continued on, ended up at Botany Bay, and John Curtin said, oh, thanks, we'll have those planes and we'll make 3 squadrons out of them. They sent one with completely raw pilots to New Guinea with no idea what to do, as the Japanese were preparing to attack Moresby, and this became this incredible David and Goliath struggle with this brand new squadron with pilots that had never flown in combat, except a couple of veterans they got over from the desert. And they held off the Japanese for this 6-week campaign, which was quite extraordinary. And it was the first time the Japanese Air Force had had any resistance to them. Yeah. And it totally upset their plans. The next book I did was called Turning Point, which was, as Macca was just saying, in the middle of the Kokoda campaign, the Japanese tried to do this sneaky side attack to Port Moresby, because they needed Moresby, because Moresby was a perfect, beautiful, natural deep water harbour. Yes. They could get all their navy into it, and if they'd taken Moresby, that would have been it. Mm. They would have been immovable from it. So they tried to move up this bay called Milne Bay and attack Moresby from there. But the Australians beat them to it. The Japanese landed in the middle of the night. They tried to overrun some of the airstrips they were building, and they were defeated and had to re-embark. The first time ever the Japanese
had been
defeated on land. The Americans had very little to do with it, a little bit, but not too much. And then the next one I'm going to be working on is called The Battle of the Bismarck Sea, which was their last... So these three books are going to bookend this campaign. Mm. The Bismarck Sea was their last gasp. It was a big convoy after they'd lost Kokoda, lost Milne Bay, and lost a place called Buna at the other end of the Kokoda track. They, nonetheless, Japan was still at near the zenith of its powers, and they said, well, all we have to do is reinforce a garrison at a place called Leh on North Coast, and we'll be back in business. So they sent an 18-ship convoy, which is a big convoy, a short distance from their base at Rabaul, on a 3-day sea voyage to Leh, and it was discovered and obliterated entirely by air power, the first and last time it has ever been done in military history, where an entire convoy, virtually every ship, was sunk entirely by aeroplanes. No Allied ship was involved and no Allied ground personnel were involved. It was entirely by air. And military historians are always saying, why don't we know about it? Because this is actually incredible. And the story of how it happened is remarkable. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
And I think, you know, this is, you know, we...
I need a cup of tea.
So do we.
Or some ouzo. Ouzo.
Is there any ouzo on it?
No. Oh. No alcohol allowed in the studio. Oh. Or drinks for that matter.
Oh. Jesus. But the reality is, you know, these three books tell a story that most Australians don't know, have never heard, weren't aware of, you know. So it's really important from that perspective. Yeah, there's another book you wrote, Hellships.
Hellship, yeah.
What was that about?
Hellship is set in the 1850s, and it's the story of an emigration vessel, emigration clipper, that... came into Port Phillip Bay, riddle infamous voyage. It was known as the Plague Ship. And it came into a Port Phillip Bay riddled with typhus.
What wasn't the Sitmar line, was it?
The city P&O. Yes. The shepherd's pie was off that night. Yeah. Terribly uncomfortable. But one of the heroes of the story was the young ship's surgeon, the ship's doctor, who did his best to help the people on board. They were all Scots immigrants, and then the ship had to go into quarantine, and another 100 people perished. But the hero was this young ship's doctor, who was my great-great-grandfather.
Oh.
And it's the first of my lot of the Veitch lot to come out.
My lot came out before that. They had assisted passage.
Assisted passage?
Yeah, they criminals.
Good for you. Well, that's fashionable now.
Yeah.
That's fashionable now. For years
It was for throwing a piece of stale, mouldy bread at the monarch.
he was probably hungry. You know, bread went stale pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did.
Really? Well, that was radicals from and still, I hope, Mackie, you're continuing the tradition.
Oh, just a little bit. Bit of a food fight's always good.
So when HRH comes to Melbourne, have you been tempted to sort of continue the...
No.
Where could they send you now?
My family is long-term Republicans.
Oh, well, good for you.
God save the Queen, I sit down for.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Tass. Now, we're speaking with Michael Veitch, and we've covered Pacific War history, so that'll be in part of the podcast.
That exhausted me, you know.
Well, just imagine if you're on the Kokoda Trail, mate.
Oh, indeed.
Tell you what, you know, layer about like all of that. Tell you what.
I'm impressed with you. You know your history, Mac. I'm very impressed. Well, when I came in last time, you threw some curly ones at me that went, oh, boy, okay, I can't bluff with this bugger here. Bloody hell.
I'm proud of Australia's Pacific War history. We fought against the odds. We allied with the right people amongst the Allies, because the British left would have left us to starve on the vine.
Indeed.
Anyway, the Yarra Valley Writers' Festival.
Yes.
And it's the inaugural.
I've just been made ambassador.
Ambassador. So you're the first... there must be a title for the first ambassador. Is there a...
I think my lord will do. That's what I've insisted to have printed on the card. I'll get that printed on the card.
Yeah,
it's funny because I
do. You want us all to kneel?
Always.
Not good in a gay radio station.
I was just thinking, hang on, what am I walking into here?
Okay, so Yarra Valley Writers' Festival. It's the inaugural. Tell us about it.
A lot of people, when I've said that...
So what is a writer's festival? What do people just get together and write books?
No, people come and hear the authors talking about their books. I know it seems odd, but they're huge. It does, because talking about a book and writing a book as a writer, I know, is a very different thing. But people love the insight they get into...
So do they talk about the book or do they talk about the writing?
On paper, they start to talk about the book, but usually writer's festival sessions just go anywhere, and that's what makes them so intriguing and so much fun. I had the luck to perform at the Byron Bay Writers Festival, and it was just a hoot because
perform.
Well, yeah, you do sessions, and you basically get interviewed live in front of a great big marquee full of people.
Okay, so you call that performing? The performing
it
to
is
me,
a sense.
Okay.
I have just been made ambassador because I live in the Yarra Valley, and a lot of people say, oh, yeah, but...
Is that Healesville?
Yes, it's going to be centred in Healesville, at the Healesville Memo and the Healesville Library. Mother's Day weekend next year, 8th to 10th of May, the great playwright Hanny Raisin is programming it with the wonderful Brooke Powell, who is going to be producing it. There are early bird tickets on sale. I'm the ambassador. We've just announced Charlotte Wood, Tony Birch, Christos Chalkas is going to be turning up. We can just announce him. There's early bird tickets and a wonderful website, which is, Mackie, you can read it.
It is Yarra Valley Writers Festival. .com.au
I think just .com.
.com or international.
Yes, I think we just .com out of that. So that's
international.
And workshops, and I'll be there. There'll be a wonderful... We're doing this lovely thing on the Mother's Day Sunday. There's a beautiful lunch at a winery, and some selected people are going to be asked to read a letter I wish I'd written to my mother.
Oh. Now, I've got a subject for a book for you. What about mothers in the Pacific War?
Mothers in the Pacific.
At home, on the home front and all of that.
Great idea.
Mm.
Has it...
No, it hasn't been done.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I'll commission.
I will not give you my publisher's number because...
you might do it yourself.
I'll bugger if you bloody look at the post at me, mate. Crikey, I've got to keep writing.
You do. Look, I love writers' festivals, Tass, because...
I've never known you to go to one, Mac.
No.
He doesn't love them. Yeah. He loves the idea of them. And have you never been to one?
No, I haven't.
They're great fun.
You hear about the books, but you hear about the writers, and you never know what direction the discussion is going to go. And that's what's really interesting.
It sounds a bit like us on radio.
Well, it is, of course.
And people get to meet the writers. Yeah. They feel like, you know, if you're... I'm obsessed with. I actually read quite a bit of young adult fiction because I'm such a young adult gentleman. A guy called Garth Nix, and I'm reading his latest book at the moment called Angel Mage, and I find Angel Mage, M A G E, just the notion of actually going to, it seems silly, but because I'm a fan of his writing, I'd love the idea of actually going to a session and hearing him talk sort of behind the scenes about what it actually means and how he started and hear him get interviewed. So people feel like they get a bit of an inside running into what they love, which is reading.
Now, you're also, there's a play coming up, isn't there?
Yes. Now, it's a little while off, so I'm going to hit you up to come back a bit closer to it. But it's actually the stage version of Hellship, which is the ship story I was telling you about. We toured it a couple of years ago, and we've got a lovely, great, big, fat tour happening again this coming year. We're nearly there, aren't we?
Where's it going to be performed?
First, the great gig we've got is down at the Port Ferry Folk Festival, which we're doing two shows down there, which I've tried to get in as a punter to the Port Ferry Folk Festival, but I never make it because the tickets go so quickly, and now I'm actually performing there, so I'm really, really happy.
Now you have an Access
that.
All Areas pass.
I hope so.
You'll be right.
So where will you be performing?
It's the stage version of the Hellship book that I wrote about the story of this vessel. Told from the point of view of my great-great-grandfather. So I basically play my great-great-grandfather on stage for an hour 50 years after the event.
The Folk Festival was a music festival.
No. It is, and there is music composed and performed by my son, Thomas, who is a fabulous cellist and a magnificent singer we've found, Rosie Bell.
It's a festival for folk.
It sounds like it.
A lot of these festivals are becoming very performant.
They're becoming bitsy by the sounds of it.
Under Marie Cardi, the Melbourne Writers' Festival, it became very much a performance festival this year. So it's the tradition of not just being strictly about one thing, but sort of spreading the parameters a bit. At 45 Downstairs, we're doing a week of Hellship from the 16th of March. And you can book, and you can get online too.
Aren't you going to give me a ticket?
Right. Listen, turn up on the night. We'll see what I can do for you.
I don't mind sitting back.
You might have to help me sell drinks after the show.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Okay, terrific.
I can do that.
But I'll come on and tell people about that. My early career, please. I've been quivering with anticipation. So, do you really want to go there?
We had a listener who said he used to play a camp and gossipy flight attendant with Steve Vizard.
Who?
Steve Vizard. I know he's. We don't mention him. Rings who was quite funny, according to my mum.
Well, your mum must be very, very old.
She's about our
That's
age.
That's all
Michael.
I say. Well, I'm too young to remember fast forward. Basically, okay, it's all.
I loved it.
Did you? Yeah. Thank you. Well, it was a lot of fun to do, and
You wouldn't get away with it now.
You wouldn't get away with it now. Would you want to get away with it? So many people say,
Tell me, what was it? Because I never saw it.
Sketch comedy. You've never been to a writer's festival. You've never seen Fast Forward.
No.
Well, actually, have you done
No, I sound like a cultural Luddite, don't I?
All he does is, pickle olives and eat feta.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. It was a sketch comedy show in the so-called golden age of Australian TV comedy, the late 1980s, when you had a whole bunch of original comedy being produced on Australian small screens. You had Max Gillies.
I saw Max Gillies live a few times.
Comedy Company. Remember Comedy Company? Zip over his head, over his house, goodness me. Then you had D-Generation, the first one I was involved in, with the Working Dog People, who are brilliant millionaire.
He's a complete philistine, isn't he?
No, I don't do comedy.
We know that.
And we just all came together at the right time, basically. Magda Szybanski,
yes.
You know Magda?
Magda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Seen her down in
Do you
Kilda?
Know why Magda is famous originally?
She did. No idea.
No.
Catherine Kim?
There you go. You're getting there.
But well, I never liked Catherine Kim. My partner's obsessed by it.
You either like it or you don't like
no,
it.
No, it's not for me.
Yeah, yeah. We all got together out of uni doing a one-hour sketch show a week for years That's when they used to love flogging the horse to the point of exhaustion and death. But it was great fun, and it was at the time Australian comedy was holding up a sign.
It was a groundbreaking comedy show.
It was a groundbreaking, that's the fast forward, yeah.
Okay. So what character did Magda play again? What was
In Fast Forward?
Yeah.
Oh, hundreds of characters. She's a comic genius. She can play anything. She played Lynn, the exhausted, ghastly, narcissistic old cow. Tired. If Magda's listening, hello, darling. I dare not impersonate you doing your characters. Magda played all sorts. You know, and because she's half Scottish, half Polish, she could do both accents perfectly.
There was something about a skin. Was it a skin treatment or something like that?
Yes, with Mark Downey. They had a little daytime show, send up of a kind of a ghastly daytime show interview talking about cosmetics and things like that. Hair removal treatment.
That's right, yes, yes.
But it was just the right combination of brains getting together at the right time. And the only reason we succeeded was because Channel 7 was literally in receivership at that time. And because for the first 8 weeks we tanked. Nothing, we had no ratings whatsoever. But because it was being run by accountants, they had no imagination to take it off air. They said, oh, well, as long as you just keep going till the budget runs out. And then we started to pick up. But we had to have that buffer of the first 8 weeks or so where we didn't do anything. And then we went on for the next 4 years. It was lots of fun.
We've just had a message from one of our listeners, Michael, who says, it's great to hear you talking.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's Michael, Sean from St Kilda, actually.
Hello, Sean from St Kilda. I grew up in St Kilda. I have good street cred in St Kilda. I grew up at 45 Carlisle Street.
Pixie Ann Wheatley.
Yeah, that's Oh, well, Pixie Ann was the sort of ditzy sports commentator.
Yes, yes.
That's
from 100. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, Pixie Ann, I remember that. And you should Google them later, Tash. You'll watch them.
No, well, I just never watch comedy.
I think we should stop picking on Tash.
Why? It's good sport.
I have a girlfriend who used to take me to the comedy festival.
Yes.
As their handbag. And we would go and see four or five shows a night.
Did you laugh?
No, they were horrible. They were horrible. And in fact,
is that Ricky Gervais' character that he has with the radio guy who's... Oh,
here we go. The Institute de Beauté.
The Institute
Chenille's de Beauté. Institute de Beauté.
Magda has no doubt been on this station. I feel awful talking
she
to one
actually been
of
on set, man.
Not on our show, she hasn't. And we have tried, Macca. We have tried.
So
I saw her at an event last Saturday.
Just tell her, Michael, when you see her. Say, you've got to come on. Because, you know, we actually feel neglected.
I'll do my best. I'll tell her no such thing, actually. She can make up her own
so
mind.
So I'd go to this comedy festival, and and we went to four shows one night. It was a 20-year-old comedian, a late 20s-year-old comedian, an early 30s-year-old comedian, and a 40s-year-old comedian, all males.
Oh, so it went up in age.
In age. And the younger they were, the more inane they were. Yeah. They just laughing at themselves. I couldn't see the fun in that.
Well, young people are inane.
And so then by the time we got to the 40, the audience...
I can't stand young people anymore.
No.
Can't stand them.
I love them. By the time we got to the older one, it was a 40-year crowd, predominantly male. It was Irish or Scottish or something. And it was sexist, it was racist, it was homophobic. And I thought, this is not funny. The audience were laughing. The males were rolling around laughing. And I said to my friend, 5 more minutes and I'm walking out of here. And she said, me too. So
When was this?
Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
about
but when?
4 years ago.
About 4 years ago.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, it was really bad.
Not
really,
being,
really bad.
Not being
I did say
fan.
To the then CEO, the festival does not make me laugh. And she thought that was a great line. She was going to use those. It wasn't. It was all just stupid.
So the measure of whether the festival is a success, if Tess laughs, it's been a failure.
You should do what David Walsh does in his advertising campaign for Mona, just taking negative quotes about people who have come to Mona and have hated it and putting them on billboard. The worst thing I've ever seen. I think a picture of I've just spilled a little bit of coffee here, getting overexcited. I've just sort of had a minor ejaculation over my Well, that's what it is, it's slightly like that. And I just bought this shirt yesterday at Target Castlemaine for $39.
Well, you've wrecked
it. Well, I was going to say, it must have been in the thing for a while because it's all creased.
I ironed it this morning, thank you, leaving my brother's. How dare you? You know, man in a not all that clean white T-shirt.
No,
you
I can know. Talk. It's got a few spots.
But you do have a T-shirt of your own show.
Hey, 317's back, Macca. 317's back. Great to hear from you, 317. We love having your feedback.
And sorry, we had another message from a listener. Great to hear you on air, Michael. So
thank you so much.
That's we've very, already very... said that one, Macca.
No, it was another one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can.
I'm trying to talk him up, Tess, just because you don't laugh at comedy.
Where has this conversation gone? This is kind of weird. Oh, we're talking about Tess's face looking grumpy, saying, best ad for the Comedy Festival. I don't think this is funny.
Yes.
Please come to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. I don't go to it either. I don't even know why I'm talking it up. I don't like stand-up comedy.
I can't stand it.
I've never
it's
been.
Dumb.
I can't stand stand-up. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. There's another song. I can't stand stand-up.
It's a lot.
Michael, great to have you in the studio. We've run out of time.
I'm going to have a final chat. The Yarra Valley Writers Festival. Look it up. Google it. Get some tickets. Go and see things. Michael's the inaugural ambassador. If you go there, he'll...
I will be doing some sessions as well.
He'll give you a treat.
Good on you, Michael.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for coming in.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.